I'm Dan Hughes in the Treasure Corner. When I started collecting coins back in the 1950s, the trick was to look for key dates. There were just a few that were considered the holy grails of coin collecting. For Lincoln pennies, the 1909 SVDB, the 1914 D, and the 1922 with no mint mark. For nickels, the 1937 D three-legged buffalo. And for dimes, the 1916 D. That was about it. We kids couldn't afford to collect any coins higher than dimes. There were a lot of other coins that were worth more than face value. Most of the S mint marks were highly desirable, at least in the Midwest, where I lived. Were those San Francisco minted coins more common on the West Coast? I don't know. I was under the impression they were harder to find everywhere. There were a couple of problem coins that were worth big bucks back then, too. The most well-known was the 1942 over 41 dime. Basically, dies to mint coins are stamped once, then heated, then stamped again. Normally, with the same stamp. But stamps for both 1941 and 1942 were being used near the end of the year 1941, and in the case of this particular dime, somehow the 1941 and 1942 dies got reversed for that second stamping, so the dimes have both dates, one right on top of the other. I got away from coin collecting in the 1960s, when the glory days of finding great coins in circulation wound down. I was in college and had little money then to put into the hobby anyway, and collectible coins were disappearing from circulation about then, with memorial pennies driving out the wheatbacks, and then silver coins being replaced by sandwich coins. At the tail end of my serious collecting, there was one coin that seemed to appear suddenly from nowhere, the 1955 double die penny. That was the first mint error coin I'd ever heard of. But now there are hundreds of different mint error coins out there, and some of them are worth more than any of those key coins I mentioned at the beginning of this show. I call these coins mutant coins, but they're known to most collectors as error issues, coins that are defective because of problems with machinery at the mint. There are all kinds of mint errors, doubled dies, repunched mint marks, strike doubling, ejection doubling, plating split doubling, and plating blisters. Some are worth money, some aren't, and there are books and websites that will sort all that stuff out for you. Just do a Google search for coin errors, and you'll find enough to keep you busy for a while. The problem with collecting these mint error coins is that you need a magnifying glass and a lot of time to find them. In my day, I could go through a roll of 50 pennies and pull out all the good ones in about 3 minutes. Look at the date, look at the next date, look at the next date, nothing to it. But if you collect mint errors, you have to look at the date, check your source book to see if there was a particular mint error for that date, and then use your magnifying glass to see if your coin has that error. And, of course, the odds are that it doesn't. In a book called Strike It Rich with Pocket Change, there are 111 pages of photos of mint errors of just Lincoln Memorial pennies, and most of them are valued under $12 in extra fine condition. I hate to say it, but I don't think looking for those mint errors is worth the time it takes to examine those coins under a magnifying glass. And you do have to use a magnifying glass, because many of those errors are virtually invisible to the naked eye. And maybe it's just me, but when I study those photos of errors in those books, I can't really see what I'm looking for. Finally, another problem is that counterfeit mint errors are out there for the more valuable coins, and I'm guessing you'd have to pay to have your coins verified before you could put them on the market. So what do you think? Are mint errors worth getting involved with? I vote no. Thanks for listening. For more free articles about treasure hunting and a look at my book, The Metal Detecting Manual, visit treasuremanual.com. In the Treasure Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.